inform.
Religious freedom is about people of faith being able to live out their faith, live out their convictions, no matter where they are.
We equip.
This is a battle of worldviews.
And we activate.
We also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome to The Core here on American Family Radio Network. Good to be with you today on the program. It's our Wednesday edition of the show, AFA at the Core, or At the Core. So I went to Israel the last 2 weeks, had a great trip to Israel, to the Holy Land. By the way, registration isn't open yet, but if you do want to travel to the Holy Land and see Israel, the land of the Bible, my brother, my dad, and I all lead a group over there each year in March. So registration will open up in the next few months for the 2024 trip. But mark that down, March 2024, if you want to go. Registration will be open in a few months. We'll mention it on the program. Speaking of registration, we have our Marriage Family Life Conference coming up in July. And AFA has been doing for several years now. We've been doing several events throughout the year all around the country. So if you haven't been able to meet any of the AFA team in person, there's ample opportunity to do so. And one of the ways is through our Marriage Family Life Conference. So we'll have July 6th through 8th, I believe, are the dates. I'll pull it up real quick. But first, basically the first weekend in July, we have our Marriage Family Life Conference. Yep, July 6th through the 8th of this year. MarriageFamilyLife.net is that URL. MarriageFamilyLife.net is that URL. We're having our annual conference here in Tupelo, Mississippi, where our headquarters is, where my grandfather started the ministry. And we're hoping that you'll join us, you and the entire family. That's what makes the conference unique, is it's a conference for the entire family. We have something for the children and something for the parents. As far as our youth track, it's our youth apologetic track. That's for ages 4 through 17. Ages 4 through 17. And then, of course, adults can come as well. So it's a trip for the whole family. Our pricing is $50 per child. This is for the whole conference, the entire conference. $50 per child and $75 per adult. All right. So $50 per child, $75 per adult. And you can come first week of July to our conference, marriagefamilylife.net. You need to go ahead and register because registration closes in just a few weeks. Registration will close towards the end of April, and you won't be able to come until the next year. So marriagefamilylife.net is that URL. I do want to turn our attention to the scripture today. We're in Psalm chapter 65 this week. Remember, this is, we have to remember the context in which certain books of the Bible are written. And so we have Psalm here, of course, written during the during the Old Covenant between God and Israel, between God's chosen people, the Jews, and God himself. And so David's writing, and you hear words like vows and atonement or atone, and then David also mentions about dwelling in the court of the Lord. So there's these legal type terms being used, these contractual type terms, that's how the relationship between God and his people was set up at the time during the Old Covenant. So David says in verses 1 through 5 here, "Praise is due to you, O God in Zion, and to you shall vows be performed. O you who hear prayer, to you shall all flesh come. When iniquities prevail against me, you atone for our transgressions. Blessed is the one you choose and bring near to dwell in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, the holiness of your temple." And so where does our satisfaction come from? Even today, under the new covenant, where does our satisfaction come from? Well, it comes from being in the presence of the Lord, being in the Lord's house, being in the presence of God's holiness, and his temple. Very, very similar relationship between God and man as we shared here in the Old Testament. Moving into some of the stories I want to get to, you know, that shooting yesterday was an absolute tragedy in Nashville, and we found out more information after the show. You know, we don't want to speak prematurely because that's what everybody else does. A lot of these news outlets, they start talking about stuff that they really don't know about, and oftentimes that leads to people being misinformed about what's going on. So we didn't really talk about it because we didn't really know about it, other than some of the initial details. But as things developed yesterday, we saw more details, and this was a very disturbed individual, a female that presented herself as transgender on some of her social media profiles and other places online, and she went into a Christian school in Nashville, in the Nashville area, and killed three students and three teachers, or three school workers there in Nashville. And the response from some of these liberal activists has just been absolutely disgusting. I mean, some of them even went as far to suggest that these victims, you know, that this was due, that this was justified because of the quote unquote anti-transgender rhetoric that they say is taking place. But Tucker Carlson really summed this up well in his monologue last night. He talked about how there's this clash, this worldview clash between, he was specifically talking about Christianity and the transgender ideology, but I'm going to go a little broader here and present this really as an ideological war and clash between Christianity and this entire sexual deviancy movement, whether it be transgenderism, homosexuality, or now they're talking about these ideologues are talking about pedophilia and how it should be okay. And so this is really a clash between worldviews, and the rhetoric is very, very ramped up from the other side. So let's listen to clip two.
The trans movement is the mirror image of Christianity and therefore its natural enemy. In Christianity, the price of admission is admitting that you're not God. Christians openly concede that they have no real power over anything, and for that matter, very little personal virtue. They will tell you to your face that they are sinful and helpless and basically absurd. They're not embarrassed about any of this. They brag about it. That saved a wretch like me, goes the most famous Christian hymn ever written in English. The trans movement takes the opposite view. Trans ideology claims dominion over nature itself. We can change the identity we were born with, they will tell you with wild-eyed certainty. Christians can never agree with this statement because these are powers they believe God alone possesses. That unwillingness to agree, that failure to acknowledge a trans person's dominion over nature, incites and enrages some in the trans community. People who believe they're God can't stand to be reminded that they're not. So Christianity and transgender orthodoxy are wholly incompatible theologies. They can never be reconciled. They are on a collision course with each other.
All right, well, you have Tucker Carlson saying that, you know, the Christian worldview and this sexual deviancy movement are on a collision course that we see, you know, in the public every day. We're reading stories about this collision course that is continually showing itself to be true. One really, really angle I wanted to take while we have a few minutes left in the segment on this topic of what happened in Nashville yesterday is, number one, that there's this outcry, and most of it probably genuine, but there's this outcry about these shootings. There's this repetitive, every time there's a shooting, unless it's in Chicago, every time there's a shooting, there's this mass media outcry that we've got to stop this. That's what they say. They say we've got a problem. You know, they won't really talk about evil because they don't believe in God, but they'll say how bad this is. This shouldn't happen. And then they revert to, within 1 minute of the topic, they revert to gun control. because that's all they know to do is to pass more laws in the name of helping people and protecting people. But let's remember, folks, many of the same people that claim to, and some of them might be genuine, I don't know, but many of the people that claim to abhor these shootings and the death of innocent people are the same people that applaud the abortion industry. They applaud and defend the abortion industry. So you can't, you know, say that we ought to be able to kill babies, but if you're 8 years old, then you ought to be protected. So either life is valued or it's not. But remember, these are the same folks that are all about soft on crime. I'm talking about the mainstream media. I'm talking about the liberal activists. I'm talking about the Democrats. This is the same group of people that are letting hardcore criminals out of jail in New York State, in California, in Illinois, and other left-wing bastions of liberal insanity policies. I mean, you mug somebody and beat them in New York City, you're out that day. They're going to book you, probably feed you a meal and give you a fresh shower, and then you're back on the streets. And so to think that we're going to pass more gun control laws, remember they passed one last year. Senator John Cornyn from Texas and Senator Murphy from the Northeast, Connecticut, I think, they passed a bill and it was supposed to, you know, stop gun violence. And here we are again with another shooting. And these things happen every day. They just don't get covered every day. Go to Chicago. This stuff happens, you know, multiple times during the day in Chicago. It just doesn't get the national media attention. But how can we promote laws, more laws, more regulation, more government when we can't even enforce the laws we got on the books now? So that whole push for gun control is completely disingenuous. And we've got to recognize that it won't work. It won't work. There are only two things that will work. And when I say work, to think that we're going to enter a day in America or any nation in the world where people aren't going to, innocent people aren't going to be victims or aren't going to be murdered, to think that we're going to enter a day before Christ returns that's going to be the case is completely naive and rejecting of Scripture. All right, Scripture teaches that we live in a fallen world. So if we live in a fallen world, then we live with a bunch of sinners. And if we live with a bunch of sinners, then people are going to do bad things. All right, that's been going on since the dawn of creation. Read like the first few chapters in Genesis. All right, so evil will always exist until Christ returns and sets up his kingdom. So we have to understand that. I'm not saying that we need to allow evil, or we need to promote evil, or we need to sit by complacently while evil exists. Absolutely not. But to think that we can somehow eradicate evil on earth is completely naive, and that's actually idolizing ourselves to think that we have the power to eliminate evil within our own means. All right, so that's the first truth, is that evil will always exist. So the second thing is, well, what is our responsibility? If evil always exists and man is fallen and we live in a fallen world, then, well, what can we do? Well, we can extremely punish evil. We can punish evil, and we can make it very difficult for evil people to commit evil acts. And one of the ways you do that through common sense approach that actually is statistically proven to work is, instead of taking guns away from people that are law-abiding citizens, we need more armed, trained, responsible citizens that can do as these heroic officers did in Nashville, and they can neutralize and kill the threat in short order. That's what saved countless lives in Nashville, is officers going towards the gunfire and taking out the shooter. We need more of that, not from officers alone, but from citizens as well.
They have healed the brokenness of my people superficially, saying, peace, peace, but there is no peace. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. Tragedy struck the Covenant School in Nashville, Tennessee, when a woman, confused about her own identity, entered the school and murdered six people, three of whom were children. Initial reports concealed the murderer's confusion. Later reports identified the killer as transgender, a woman who presented herself as a man. Then almost immediately, the next comments were, "But there's no evidence of mental health issues." A woman says she's a man, but everything's fine. Deviancy idolatry requires truth be sacrificed, even in the face of tragedy. May our Lord comfort the bereaved families in Tennessee.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner, or visit the podcast page at AFR.net for more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
This is Raising Godly Girls Minute with Patty Garibay of American Heritage Girls.
We frequently hear how spiritual and mental health play key roles in raising a godly girl, but physical health is important too. Scripture tells us that we are created in God's image, that our bodies are His temple, and that we are strengthened in the Spirit of the Lord. Encouraging balanced eating and daily movement into your family's weekly routines serves as a reminder that our bodies are a living sacrifice and that the fruits of the Spirit, like patience and self-control, apply to everyday temptations. God's people are beautifully diverse. We all come in different shapes and sizes with ranging abilities and weaknesses. It's how we work to glorify God in all aspects of our lives, physically, mentally, and spiritually, that leads to a healthy, godly life well lived.
We are all called to raise up the next generation of Christian leaders. Learn more about empowering girls at raisinggodlygirls.com.
Here's Steve Tiber, president of 8 Days of Hope.
The fastest growing crime in America and across the world is sex trafficking. We're talking about millions of lives, even children. Did you know the average age of a child who's trafficked in America is 12 years old? 8 Days of Hope is decided to be a part of the solution with the body of Christ around the country. It's amazing to think that there's 13,000 animal shelters in our country, and that's a good thing, but there's less than 1,000 safe places for people who have been rescued from sex trafficking to go to. I know it's not a fun subject to talk about, but God has called the church to take its blinders off and end this human tragedy. At 8 Days of Hope, we're going to partner with an existing ministry, and for 14 days, we'll bring skilled volunteer professionals to renovate, rebuild, or remodel facility so that more can be rescued and receive the emotional, physical, and spiritual help they need. For more information on how you can get involved with our Safe House Construction Ministry, please email us at safehouse@8daysofhope.com or go to our website, 8daysofhope.com.
At the Core podcasts are available at AFR.net. Now, back to At the Core on American Family Radio.
As the deep pants for the water, so my soul pants for you. All my tears have been my fodder. Day and night, my only food. Oh, my soul, you feel forgotten. Put your hope in Christ alone. As the deep longs for the water, so my soul longs to be home. Come now,
welcome back to The Core. That was Shane and Shane. This is our Worship Wednesday. And that song there is based out of Psalm 42, which we covered, I don't know, probably 20 plus weeks ago here on the show, but Psalm 42 is what we just heard there from Shane and Shane. One of my favorites, by the way, as far as musicians, Shane and Shane, one of my favorites there. We do have Pastor Joseph Parker, host of the Hour of Intercession, here with us on the show to talk about a project that we're doing here at AFA. Pastor Joseph, thanks for coming on.
Walker, good to be with you today.
Well, before we jump into this project, which is very special and very needed amongst not only our youth, but every believer, tell our audience about the Hour of Intercession, when it airs, and maybe some of the, obviously it's focused on prayer, but you also bring on guests and talk about different topics related to Scripture.
Right. The Hour of Intercession comes on 3 a.m. Central, 5 days a week, and we deal largely with helping believers become serious prayer warriors, but discipleship as a whole, as a topic as well, as an ongoing basis. And I would mention this project, amongst other things, we've had the privilege of having the kids to do their speeches on the broadcast and parents to come on and talk about how they observed how the journey of doing the speech affected their kids, which again is exciting to hear a parent that's excited to see God working and molding their child being involved in a discipleship project like this.
Yeah, so we've got many folks have probably heard of this, but if you haven't, we're going to kind of lay it out for you. But Pastor Joseph, for multiple years, has led what's called a Ten Commandment Challenge or a Ten Commandment Project. And kind of the first part of it is simply memorizing the Ten Commandments. But this other aspect that you're working on as well, Pastor Joseph, is called the Ten Commandments Speech Contest or Speech Project. So outline kind of what this looks like and how people around the country can participate.
Okay. Well, again, thanks for the chance to share about it. This is our third year for doing the speech contest. The first year, we ended up with about 27 kids doing videotaped speeches that they sent in. Last year, we ended up with just shy of 40 children, and so we expect we'll probably get even more this year. But it's a great opportunity for children to be involved in what I think is a very valuable discipleship opportunity because, like, for example, part of what's going on is, like, the child will do their Bible research, they'll do their topical research, and then they put it together in such a way where it will be videotaped. Now, I should mention the three different ways they can actually put the speech together. They can either write the speech themselves, they can get their parents to help them, or they can, if need be, if they're, say, a child says, I want to participate, but I don't know how to do a speech, we're glad to help them, if need be, to write the speech for them. Now, some might think, well, how is that productive? When it filters through their mind and their heart, it's still productive, and we're glad to have them participate in any of the three ways. There is a deadline, April 26th, so it's just about a month away, mm-hmm. but to me, it's a very exciting project because it's a wonderful way to plant the Word of God in the minds and the hearts of children. And Jesus really is the answer to all of our problems in our culture, yeah. all of our challenges, and He is the Word of God.
That's right. And this is, by the way, this is for ages 6 to 18. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to post a link, by the way, folks who want to read more about this. I'm going to post a link on our podcast page this afternoon to an entire article or blog that Pastor Joseph put together that really outlines all the specifics you need to know for your youth to participate in this Ten Commandments speech project. And we do have rewards, if you will, although that's not the primary motive here behind this project, but we do have some incentives, if you will. First place will receive $150, second place $125, third place $100, fourth $80, and fifth place $50. So your youth has the opportunity to win some money that they can maybe put in their savings account.
And every participant will get a T-shirt.
Okay, so every participant will get a T-shirt, and then the top five will get this amount that I just outlined there. Mm-hmm. Pastor Joseph, for people who at times or maybe now are like, you know, Walker and Pastor Joseph, you know, I read the Bible and I read the New Testament, but isn't that Ten Commandments in Exodus? Isn't it in the Old Testament? I mean, why do we need to memorize the Ten Commandments today?
Well, it's helpful for believers to know that all of the Word of God always will be relevant, always will be, and for every culture, every situation, as well as it's the moral law of God, which doesn't change.
Yes.
And so it's important for us to understand that there's no way in the world they're outdated, they're critical, and every culture that applies them, they're much better off for it.
Absolutely. And can you imagine, Pastor Joseph, I mean, in the first segment we were talking about the tragedy that happened in Nashville yesterday. Mm-hmm. But can you imagine if we just, you know, in the mind and heart of every child and every adult in this nation, if the Ten Commandments were a centerpiece? I mean, can you imagine the transformation culturally that would happen?
You know, that's a great point, and I recall when I was on the broadcast with Ed on Today's Issues a few days ago, Ed pointed out something that was so powerful and really tragic as well. He pointed out it was 1980 when the Supreme Court voted to remove the Ten Commandments from public schools. And part of what they stated was, in essence, they seemed to be saying that, well, if the Ten Commandments are posted in schools, they might influence the kids. What a tragedy. Of course, yeah, they're going to influence the kids.
Sure.
That's a major part of what we're pursuing.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that begs the question, you know, what harm is done by children obeying the Ten Commandments? Because the Ten Commandments are basically the law of the land to a certain degree across the entire United States. Now, some of it, of course, is being weakened and undermined, and some, you know, some illegal activity is incentivized or not punished. But all of our, the vast majority of the Ten Commandments are all in the law, mm-hmm, and criminal acts to a certain degree, with the exception of maybe a few. But stealing from others, mm-hmm, is the Ten Commandments. Murder is in the Ten Commandments. Let's see. Honor your father and mother is in the Ten Commandments. And there, yes, there are laws about parental authority and parental rights and respecting
authority.
Exactly. So there's actually still a law in the books, folks, about adultery. Yes, adultery and homosexuality is still in many states on the books. Now, do they enforce it? No. But it's still there. It's still on the books. Bearing false witness or lying about one's neighbor, that's not
perjury.
Perjury, yeah, that's not permitted in many cases. So we value the Ten Commandments to a certain degree, whether we realize it or not. Pastor Joseph, thanks so much for coming on the show, and I'll just give you last word on the importance of this project.
Well, again, it's so important for us to understand in the kingdom of God, the Holy Spirit is, he's aggressive, he's passionate, and he's deliberate. And that's the way we're to disciple our children. And I think too often believers have the perspective of they're sort of functioning on defense all the time, whereas the kingdom of God is supposed to be on offense all the time.
Yes.
This, a project like this can put a tool in the hands of parents to help them do just that.
That's good. Offense instead of defense. That's a good place to be spiritually. Hey, amen. Pastor Joseph, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you, Walt.
I appreciate you highlighting this. So once again, we just talked to Pastor Joseph Parker about the Ten Commandments speech project or speech contest, where we're encouraging youth out there ages 6 to 18 to participate in this project. Speeches should be submitted by April 26th. Just about a month out, participants are encouraged to write, record, and send their video speech as soon as they have an opportunity. Let's see, and I'll go ahead and give out the email to submit these speeches to, and then, but I do encourage you to still go to the podcast page here in a little bit and read more about this. It's very, very good information. But you can email these speeches to faq@afa.net. faq@afa.net, and we'll get those over to Pastor Parker. And every child who participates and every youth and young adult that participates will get a Ten Commandments t-shirt. So that incentive alone should spur you on to participate in this project. Let's just go through the Ten Commandments. Let's just go through this. First commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. 2, you shall make no idols. 3, you shall not take the name of the Lord, your God, in vain. 4, keep the Sabbath day holy. 5, honor your father and mother. 6, you shall not murder. 7, you shall not commit adultery. 8, you shall not steal. 9, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And 10, you shall not covet. So the Ten Commandments are very much relevant today, should be a centerpiece of our life. and really give us a glimpse into the heart of God and a very, very good basic framework to live lives that are honorable to God. Moving into some of the other stories I wanted to make sure we got to today, there was a pastor on a local news outlet, actually in a national news show. Let's see. CBS Morning Show is this pastor was on, this pastor from the Nashville area was on with CBS Morning Show. Jim Bachman's his name. That's the pastor from the Nashville area. Actually used to pastor this church, I believe, where the shooting took place. But nonetheless, he was questioned by this CBS anchor, you know, what do you say to the people who say thoughts and prayers aren't enough? There must be action. Thoughts and prayers aren't enough. There must be action. I thought this pastor handled this situation, a very adversarial interview, by the way, when you listen to it. But listen to how great this pastor handled this situation.
I want to ask you, I've heard so many people say lately, faith-filled people, I don't want your thoughts and prayers. I don't want to hear about thoughts and prayers. I want action. As a man of faith, you will conduct Mike Hill's funeral next week. You will preside over it. What do you say to those people who say that?
Well, I haven't decided yet, but I'm sure I will.
No, but about, we don't need your thoughts and prayers. We need action. What do you say to that?
You mean action from who? The police or?
Laws that restrict these types of guns. Or gun laws.
That's a little bit above my pay grade. I think what I say is we need to love each other and we need to learn to disagree agreeably and learn how to forgive. And, you know, people from different ideologies, different theologies, different backgrounds, it's okay to disagree, but it's not okay to shoot each other and particularly shoot children and innocent victims. And so the message of the gospel is we love our neighbor as ourselves and try to bear each other's burdens and work through the whatever problems. We all have problems, and you know, we all need help at times in our lives, and so that's part of my job, to try and help those situations.
What an answer. I mean, that was an answer, a good answer from a very adversarial situation. Where, you know, the CBS news anchor is trying to make the pastor. This is a pastor, by the way. This isn't a lawmaker. This isn't, you know, the Biden administration. This is a pastor trying to get him to trip himself into supporting more gun control. But this is, I mean, we've got to realize that there's sin in the human heart. And folks, more laws, do we genuinely think more laws on the book in Washington, D.C. is going to stop evil? I mean, do we really think that? Do we really think it's going to stop evil? And that's not even talking about the Second Amendment. That's not even, which is a very important part of this topic, is our Constitution, our framework for our nation. But just looking at it from a effectiveness standpoint, do we really think that more gun control is going to help? And anywhere you look around the world, that doesn't work. All right, what happens when you start prohibiting law-abiding citizens from possessing firearms to defend themselves? When you start doing that, less good people have guns to defend themselves and more bad people have guns. All right? The lawbreakers will always find weapons to harm others. That will always happen. But I think one thing that has proven effective in multiple scenarios is that when there are more people who are trained on how to use a firearm to protect innocent life, that is proven statistically and in every scenario to be proven very, very effective. And what happened in Nashville, even after the tragedy of six lives being lost, what happened to prevent further death? Heroic men with guns went into the school and killed the perpetrator. That's what happened. That's what stopped the evil.
Forget about Facebook.
The last 10 days we've been banned twice, and is unbanning a word?
They put us under the ban. Christians and conservatives
don't need you, YouTube.
Banned one day. Banned again.
AFR programs are now live streaming on the AFA streaming app. Now you can get shows like Today's Issues straight from the source.
Put back on the next.
Just say unbanned.
Unbanned.
Just search AFA streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
Dear 1 million moms, I've always thought that maybe your organization was making a mountain out of a molehill. But today, I cannot believe what I just saw on my TV.
Concerned about the trash flowing into your home through today's media that simply will not censor itself? Make your voice heard. If you see trash in the media, tell us. Use the Submit Trash button at 1millionmoms.com. That's 1millionmoms.com. And thanks.
Persecuted believers in Asia, they love their enemies and they count it all joy to suffer for the Lord Jesus. This is Bible League International. In China, Pastor Katsu was badly beaten.
The thing they did to him is ask him to face the wall and they strike him, chest and his back. And it was very painful. He said afterwards he lay in bed for 3 days that he could not get up. So he said the suffering is really, really hard, but the fruit is sweet. It's a joy, joy of God.
Pastor Katsu can say the suffering is sweet because days later his interrogator showed up at his doorstep with a question, "Why were you at such peace when we were beating you?" So he would open his door, open his Mandarin Bible, and lead this man to Christ. Together they have seen thousands come to Christ in China where Bibles are scarce. You and your family, you can bless these Bibleist believers at only $5 a Bible. $100 sends 20 right now, every gift matched. Call 800-YES-WORD, 800-YES-WORD, or give it sendbiblesnow.org, sendbiblesnow.org.
Hello, this is Steve Tiber with 8 Days of Hope. As many of you know, Hurricane Ian devastated southwest Florida late last year, making landfall as a Category 4 hurricane and leaving tens of thousands of families in need of help. Hurricane Ian caused over $110 billion of damage, but today we're excited to announce that 8 Days of Hope 19 will take place in Fort Myers, Florida from May 20th to the 27th, bringing much-needed relief to these families in need. We'll be focusing on roofing and drywall, mechanicals, painting, and so much more. If you love to use your gifts to serve those in need, we invite you to join us. It's free. We provide the food and lodging. Everyone is invited regardless of your skill set or your age. If you can't volunteer, we invite you to pray for this outreach. Pray that the families we serve would see God glorified as we rebuild their homes. For additional information regarding this rebuilding trip and how to get involved, please visit 8daysofhope.com. That's 8daysofhope.com.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio with your host, Walker Wildman.
Welcome to The Core. Here on American Family Radio, well, we talked with Pastor Joseph Parker last segment about the Ten Commandments speech project that he's been working on here at American Family Association and American Family Radio. We're going to link to that blog on the podcast page at AFR.net here in just a little while when we post the show that you're listening to now in the form of a podcast here in a little while. I do want to introduce our next guest. We have on with us Rabbi Kurt Snyder. He's author of the book Messianic Prophecy Revealed, and he's heading up a very, very important project that we want to talk about. Rabbi Snyder, thanks so much for coming on the Core.
Shalom and greetings. It's a blessing and an honor to be with you and your audience today. Thank you, Walker.
Thank you. Hey, before we jump into this topic, tell us about your book that's been out for a little while now, a month or two. Messianic Prophecy Revealed.
Well, I think there's a lot of confusion amongst people that love God, Christians. I'm a Jewish believer in Jesus. I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Christ, but I'm born Jewish, raised Jewish. But what I do in Messianic Prophecy Revealed is I show believers how the Old and New Testaments connect like a hand in a glove. And particularly in Messianic Prophecy Revealed, what I do is I go into the Hebrew Bible, both the Law, the Prophets, and the Psalms, and I show messianic prophecies that sometimes God's people in the church today don't understand, and they don't see the incredible connection between the Old and New Testaments. So I'm specifically focusing on how Jesus fulfilled the messianic prophecies, the prophecies about the Messiah that were given in the Hebrew Bible. Remember that Jesus took his followers on a journey through the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms, and opened their eyes, showing them the things concerning himself in the Old Testament. And so that's what I do, and it really builds people's faith so that they know that Jesus is the only way to God.
Rabbi, let me ask you this. Many Christians have become frustrated that the pagans, to put it simply, and the people who reject God, specifically those who promote sexual deviancy and deviating from Scripture as it pertains to human sexuality, they've used the rainbow for years, for well over a decade or two. They've used the rainbow flag as kind of their symbol and their mark to display their sin in the face of God, in the face of you and me. And many of us have had this sympathy that, man, I wish we could take back the rainbow, which is God's, not man's, but God's. You're actually doing that. Tell us about the project.
Yeah. Thank you, sir. Well, something rose up in me, and I really feel it was the Spirit of the Lord. As a Jewish believer in Jesus, I actually came to faith over 40 years ago in 1978, Walker, when Jesus woke me up in the middle of the night as I slept in my bedroom in Pepperpoke, Ohio, which is a suburb of East Cleveland, and revealed himself to me in a vision. So I've had a number of supernatural experiences with the Lord over the years, and people that want to see my scriptural soundness can look me up online, discoveringthejewishjesus.com, and I'm a preacher of the Word of God, and I don't say anything that's not rooted in the Word of God. But I say all that to simply say that early in my walk with the Lord, God kind of communicated to me in a supernatural way that was associated with the rainbow. And at that time, there was no connection at all, at least in my mind, with the rainbow and gay pride and the whole gender fluidity movement. It was simply the beauty of God's presence manifest through the rainbow. And then, of course, the scriptures speak about the rainbow surrounding God's throne in Revelation 4:3. Ezekiel saw the presence of the Lord in Ezekiel 1:28, and around the Lord's presence was the rainbow. And of course, we know in the book of Bereshit or Genesis, the rainbow is the symbol of the everlasting covenant. And I just came to the place where I just was tired of being rolled over. I'm talking about the church and the culture by this gender fluidity movement and the LGBT agenda. Something in me just rose up. We're going to take our stand right now, and we're going to take the rainbow back and broadcast into the earth what the rainbow is really about, that it's God's rainbow, it's beautiful, and it means something very special, but God's people have let go of it and surrendered it to the pagans, as you say.
Yeah.
And so takingtherainbowback.com, I'm going to say it again because I know that there's a lot of similar websites, so I want to be very specific. If our listeners will go to takingtherainbowback.com, and you'll know you're on the right website, you'll see the rainbow over Jerusalem, you're going to find out exactly what we're doing as a movement. I'm calling this a movement to take the rainbow back and neutralize the LGBT community exclusive use of it. I'm encouraging God's people to take because of all that it represents rather than surrendering it when it's actually a sign of the everlasting covenant.
You know, Rabbi, I don't have a lot of followers on Twitter. I'm not some, you know, social media influencer, but I tweeted out, goes back several years, but I put out a tweet. I was out on the golf course and I saw a beautiful rainbow. I took a picture of it, put out a message, and I just said something to the extent of, you know, that man has stolen from God when the homosexual agenda stole the rainbow and marked it as their pride symbol. I just put a statement out basically that man has stolen from God and that man's not very creative and original. And that just made people furious. I mean, the mean tweets were coming in. But let me ask you this, Rabbi Snyder. You can either think one of two things. Either it's a coincidence that the unbelievers have stolen God's symbol or hijacked it, if you will, culturally, or this was intentional. I mean, what are the chances out of all the things you can use for a symbol to represent a movement, whether it be a noble or evil movement, they chose the rainbow. I mean, do you think this is coincidental, or you think this has a very much spiritual aspect to it?
Well, it certainly has a spiritual aspect to it. You know, God's highest design in creation, as all our listeners know, is mankind, that he created in his own image that he might have fellowship with us. And somehow, although God is complete within himself, he actually enjoys our fellowship with him. And when you look at creation, we know that God's highest creation is when he created us in his own image, male and female, he created he them. So that's mankind's most basic identity from the very beginning, male and female, he created he them. And of course, the whole rainbow, the six-colored rainbow of the LGBT movement, it's meant to say to people that, everybody can be anywhere in the spectrum of these colors in their sexual manifestation and in their sexual orientation, which is completely, obviously, outside of God's, you know, male and female, not anywhere in between. And when you think about the fact that that mankind, it displays God's most powerful representation of his glory in creation, because we're created in his own image, and that human sexuality is the pinnacle of it. That's why the Lord created us male and female. We can come together and propagate. It's no accident that the LGBT, or really the satanic spirit behind the hijacking of the rainbow, would target this, because it's at the center of God's creation. It's at the center of God's divine design. It strikes right at the heart of God's beauty in his creation, to pervert it to something that is so destructive and is reaching such, causing such havoc and chaos in the earth. I'm telling you, things are coming down. You know it, Walker. Things are falling. As soon as we legalized gay marriage in the United States, the covering over this nation was broken. And I want to say, forgive me just for taking one more second, I love people. I want you to know, I feel like if there's anybody that has a heart of sympathy for people that are trapped in this lifestyle, that are confused about their sexual identity, if there's anybody that has a heart for these people, I do. Yeah. I love them. But there's a difference between loving people and having compassion on them versus blessing what is wrong. And that's the problem. Too many of God's people have allowed their emotions and their human sympathies and compassion to overwhelm them and carry them away, so that now they're standing against God's word.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, to your point, Rabbi Snyder, I'm very saddened when I run into people or become aware of people who are living in sin. You know, whether it be adultery, fornication, or murder, or theft, I mean, whatever kind of sin you're talking about here, you know, the believer should become very saddened and heartbroken that the individual is going through that, is struggling with that. But there's this lie out there that you just addressed that says this. It's the lie that's been percolating for a long, long time in American culture says this. It says that if anyone disagrees with the behavior and the sin itself, then that equates hating people. And that is a lie from Satan and from the pit of hell. What we want
really is
we want people to be delivered from sin and live whole lives in Jesus Christ. That is the most loving thing, to your point, Rabbi Snyder, that we can do.
Amen, brother. I don't even know what more I can say than that. I mean, that hits the nail on the head, and that's where the war is. And it's so unfortunate that so many of God's people, particularly in the younger generation, because they never really had a standard of righteousness, they're so compromised by their culture, and the whole church is compromised by the culture in general, that they don't understand the difference between their own emotions versus the necessity of standing upright in God's word. We've allowed our human emotions and compassion for people to carry us over on the side of siding against God's word, where now we're blessing lifestyles and behavior and thought constructs that are clearly, as you said, they're opposite. You know, they're opposite of the spirit of light. They're opposite of order. And Satan, his spirit is a spirit that continually is manifesting chaos. This is one of the primary powers of evil, is chaos. And so when you start bringing chaos into gender identity and sexual orientation. When you bring chaos into that domain, you have completely destroyed the spiritual covering of God over the planet. God's sovereign. He's going to have his way. But I'm just saying that this whole gender fluidity movement and the confusion that is going along with it is completely breaking down the world, and it's going to erupt in absolute chaos, destruction, and violence. Because as you said at the beginning of the show, Walker, Satan striking in this area, it's not by accident, because he knows that breaking down this area will completely destroy all moral foundation.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Rabbi Snyder, thanks so much for coming on the program. Hey, give out that URL one more time, please.
TakingTheRainbowBack.com. TakingTheRainbowBack.com. I encourage you to go there. We've got a movement going. You can also look me up online on YouTube. God bless you, my brother. Thank you for having me on today. I really appreciate the opportunity.
All right. Thanks so much, Rabbi Snyder. Appreciate you coming on the program. All right. That's Rabbi Kurt Snyder, author of the book Messianic Prophecy Revealed, discoveringthejewishjesus.com, and also pushing this latest project, takingtherainbowback.com. But, you know, this is the battle of the day. I mean, this is the battle of the day throughout human history. The church, the body of Christ, specifically throughout church history, has faced various battles on what, you know, what does God's word say about this subject, or fill in the blank, you know, on the topic. And, but this assault, unlike many in the past, this assault here really, really cuts at the root of who God is. I mean, think about one of the first things that God did is create Adam and Eve. And then after that, he gave them the mandate to be fruitful and multiply. So this is the very essence of who God is. Man and woman, God's beautiful creation, is perfect design. And when you are, when humanity inserts chaos and confusion, and promotes the sin nature, instead of fighting against our flesh and fighting against sin and trying to keep it at bay, when we allow sin to just completely consume this area of human sexuality, what you do there, whether we realize it or not, is it completely guts and undermines the family. It completely undermines the family, because what you have here, whether it be transgenderism, homosexuality, or other sexual sin, all of those are incompatible with God's design. They're incompatible with God's design for one man and one woman to be in a covenant relationship for life. It's the exact opposite of God's design, and that's why Satan is using this such powerful topic to drive a wedge in between the body of Christ, not only here in America, but around the world. So we have to continue speaking the truth. We have to continue discipling believers, training them on how to understand accurately the Word of God, and how to teach that to others. We have to do that surely and over time, because that's our duty. That's our duty. And we do it. Why do we do it? We do it out of love, because we don't want to see people suffer. We don't want to see people continue to live in sin. This is the ultimate act of love, that is speaking the truth about God's word. At the Core here on American Family Radio, we'll see you next time.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.